Hallelujah, hallelujah. The book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and the 23rd verse. The book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and the 23rd verse. Let me say, while you're turning there, it's good to see everybody. Good to be home. Last Sunday, we were at the General Conference in Greensboro, North Carolina. Wonderful conference. Thank you so much for sending us there. We had a great conference. Share more of that with you a little bit later. Amen. But, of course, its influence will be felt here today. Amen. When you're exposed to good things, you know, it comes out. When you're exposed to bad things, it comes out. Amen. You know, water in its purest form has no taste. It has no odor. It has no color. But what goes into water affects it. If water doesn't taste good, it's not the water that tastes bad. It's what's in it. If water is blue, it's not blue of its own. It's radiation that's in it. If it turns brownish, or greenish, it's because of the copper that's in it. What gets into water is what changes it and makes it what it's not. And you're like water today. Amen. You're in the purest form, the soul is pure. But things that get into it can change the way it looks, the way it acts, what comes out of it. Amen. And so that's vital today. But thank you today for being here in this service. I'll try not to hold you very long. We do want to be at the service for Sister Hart's father, so I'm going to be mindful of the time. Amen. And so we may cut a little shorter than we normally do. And then again, we're not. Huh? So we'll try. Okay. Amen. No promises, but I'll try. Let me just say good to see you. Brother Kofers, good to have your friends with us today here. And your family, if you'd introduce them to us, please. All right. All right. So glad y'all are here today. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Yeah. Always. Praise God. Right. Well, we're glad to see everybody. Appreciate you being here today. And so glad that you're in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right. And I'm sure that there are others here. Yeah. Your nephew. Okay. We're so glad you're here today. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. And we're just glad you're all here. And hope you leave here blessed. I believe you will. Amen. Because we're in the presence of the Lord. If you came to be blessed today, you will be. Amen. If you came with your mind made up, I'm going for a blessing, you'll leave here with a blessing. Praise God. All right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." What I'm saying is, you got to guard what comes in because it affects what goes out. You got to guard what comes in because it affects what goes out. And so, for a title, I'd like to preach today the importance of guarding the gate. God bless you. You may be seated. Bible times, cities were scattered across the plains. And so over time, in order to protect themselves, cities would build walls around the city. The wall was not to keep the people in. The wall was to keep danger out. Amen. It was not to keep the people in. It was keep the enemy out. The weakest part of any walled city was the gate. Obviously, it's important that you have a gate. That's how the people can go in and out. So you have to have a gate. But the weakest part was the gate. The city, the walls were made of huge stones. They were almost impossible to get inside. But the gate, of course, was made of wood, sometimes overlaid with some metal. But it was hard to protect the gate. And so because the gate was the most vulnerable part, they always put the most guards at the gate. They always put the most vigilance at the gate. Amen. And so is life. We've got to guard, folks, what gets into us. Amen. There are things that, you know, we see people eat. And if you've ever seen certain cultures, you know, people think nothing of eating worms. They do eat them. They eat them all the time. They just eat them like you would eat popcorn. Amen. In Colombia, I tried fried ants. Wasn't my favorite thing, but I gave it a try. And so, you know, people eat things that to us look kind of weird. We think, ew, how can you do that? And you think, oh, won't that make you sick? Things that go in don't make you nearly as sick. What goes in here is what goes in here. The eye gate is one of the most important things you have to guard. And we're living in a day where there's a lot of bad stuff that can get in your eyes. I'm not talking about dust or pollutants. Amen. Praise God. But we've got to guard the eye gate. You've got to guard. David said that we have to make a pact with our eyes and guard our eyesight. Because there are things you can see. Amen. You've got to be careful what you see. You've got to be careful what you read. You've got to be careful what you watch. Amen. We know that television, and not just television, the computer can be just as bad. Can be. Amen. It can be. There's other things. Anything that can get in your eyes, because what goes in here doesn't stay here. It gets in here. Amen. So we have to be careful what comes in the gate of our eyes. We have to be careful what comes in the gate of our ears. There are things that you can hear. Amen. And I know there are people today, if I started preaching about rock music and rap music, you'd be on your feet saying amen, but you'll listen to gossip. Amen. Yeah. These young people, this younger generation, but what about us older folks? Don't we listen to things sometimes that we shouldn't listen to? Amen. Yes, music is influential, and some of it can have a very evil message. But so can gossip have an evil message. Amen. You got to watch this ear gate, folks. You got to be careful what gets in here, because it gets in here. And then you've got to be careful what, and I'm not talking about what you eat, but you got to be careful what gets in your tongue. Amen. You can, and we talked about it earlier, you can let negativity get in when everything's negative. Everything's fear. Amen. Or everything's filth. You don't have a filthy mouth until you get a dirty heart. Hmm? That's right. If you get enough trash in your heart, trash is going to come out of your mouth. Yes, it will. Amen. It's really, when you open your mouth, it's a state of the heart address. The Bible said that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why you speak in tongues when you get the Holy Ghost. Because when your heart changes and God so completely changes your heart, you confess it with a language that your mind never learned. It bypasses your intellectual capacity and it comes straight out of your spirit. It comes straight out of your heart and you speak in another language and you're confessing, Christ has come into my heart. There's a change in my life. I have a new heart. I have a new spirit. I have a new life. Amen. Folks, we got to guard the gate. Got to be careful what you let in. In the book of Genesis, we don't get but just a few chapters into the book of Genesis. In chapter 4, when God warned a man by the name of Cain, he said, you be careful. He said, because sin is lying or crouching like a leaping lion at the door. You watch it. And you be careful about opening the door, because sin is going to get in if you're not careful. He opened the door and sin got in. What was it? It came in as a spirit of jealousy. It came in as a spirit of envy. It came in as hatred against his brother. And when it fermented and when it had its full sway, he literally picked up a weapon and murdered his brother. 4 chapters into the history of humanity, it started by somebody not guarding the gate and letting sin in. Folks, we've got to be very careful that we guard the gate.
You've got to be careful what you let into your life. The book of Hebrews gives us a very solemn warning. It said, looking diligently, guarding diligently, watching diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and defile you thereby. Amen. I read some time ago about a young man wanted to go with his friends to his friend's house, and there was a movie that was going to be playing at the friend's house, and they were going to watch it, and his mother knew that it had some trash in it, some garbage in it, and some filth in it. You know, PG means profanity guaranteed. And so he knew that there was going to be some garbage going to be put in, and she didn't want her son to go, and so she said no. And the son said, "But Mom, you know, it don't have just a little bit of language. It's all, don't have much in it, Mom. It's all right. It's okay." Mom was making supper, and she reached over in the trash can and got some garbage out of the trash can and put it in the food she was preparing and mixed it up. And the son said, "Mom, what in the world are you doing?" She said, "Well, little garbage don't hurt." I'm going to tell you something. It'll hurt you a whole lot less going in here than it does in here. It might give you a bellyache if it goes in here, but it'll give you a heartache if it goes in here. You've got to be careful about what you put in, folks. We've got to guard the gate. Amen. Cain learned that lesson. Sin came in and changed the entire course of humanity. Not only it didn't just stop with Cain. Amen. One of Cain's sons, grandsons, if Cain killed one man, he said, "I'm going to kill seven." When the Spirit got to moving, you see, it was multiplied in children. What happens in your life, you see, you pass on to others. Sin doesn't stop with one generation. Sin doesn't stop with one person. Amen. When you let down and you open the guard, parents, it affects your children. It affects your grandchildren. It passes on and into the lives of others. It doesn't stop. You've got to be very careful. The Bible, now I want you to notice what it called in Hebrews. It said a root of bitterness. Everybody say a root. Just a root of bitterness. What happens to roots? They grow. And the root produces a plant, and a plant produces fruit. Until after a while, that root that springs up produces fruit, and bitterness gets in the heart. Could I say today that trouble does not produce character? It reveals character. Discipline produces character. Discipline produces character. Learning how to say no to yourself. Learning how to make yourself do things that are right, whether you feel like doing it or not. That's what produces character. Trouble doesn't produce it, it just reveals it. Whenever you are put in a situation, you see your character is going to be revealed, or the lack thereof. People can appear to be one thing until the pressure is put on. But you can't put on character. It's either there or it's not. King Saul looked good to everybody. The Bible said he was head and shoulders above everybody. He looked kingly. He looked good. He looked like the right man. And they wanted King Saul to be their king. And they elected Saul to be their king. But God was looking at Saul's heart. And God saw what was in his heart. It took some time, but time revealed that he was a petty man. Time revealed that he was a jealous man. Time revealed he was an envious man. You see, he liked the first verse of the song when they said, "Saul hath slain his thousands." Oh, he liked that part of the song. But when they said, "But David has killed his tens of thousands. That's whenever bitterness got in. And with bitterness came arrogance, until he usurped the authority of the role of the priest that only God can ascribe. And so these things revealed what was in Saul's heart. And in a little time, trouble revealed what the man was. And he literally became insane with rage and with jealousy, trying to destroy somebody that loved and respected him. But he did his very best to kill him. Did his very best to destroy him. You see, trouble reveals character, or the lack thereof. Amen. On the other hand, there were four young men. Let me get them all here. One was called Daniel. We know about Daniel. Another one was called Hananiah. Another one was called Azariah. Amen. And another one was called Mishael. These young men were taken 500 miles away from their family. There was no parents there to tell them what to do that was right and wrong. There was no preacher there to tell them about what was right and wrong. There was no church they could go to tell them what was right and wrong. And yet, the Bible said they refused to do the wrong things. And they maintained righteousness 500 miles from home, with no influence except what had already been put into them. Amen. Praise God. That's character, folks. That's character. Even at the threat of losing their lives, being burned alive in a hot furnace, they said, "We will not bow." Even at the threat of and literally the being cast into the fire and being cast into the den of lions, they said, "We will not bow. We will not change." That's character. That's character. That's guarding the gate, folks. Praise God. That's not opening up letting bad things in. Amen. Praise the Lord. They knew how to guard the gate. I think of Joseph. What a pure type in the Old Testament. A young man, 17 years of age. His freedom was taken away from him. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. And bitterness was trying to get in. He said, "You can't come in. Can't come in." He didn't let bitterness in. Amen. A little. And you know, that served him well. He got sold into slavery. He ascended to the height in Potiphar's house. His master, he was over everything he had. Potiphar's wife lied against him. And he lost his reputation. Hear me today. There's a difference in reputation and character. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what you are. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is what you really are. You can lose your reputation, what people think you are, but if you have character, it will come back and reestablish your reputation. But if you don't have character, you lose it all. Joseph lost his reputation. It was tarnished because of a lie that appeared to be true. He was thrown into prison because of a lie. Lost his reputation. Didn't lose his character. Didn't lose his character. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what happened. It wasn't very long before God saw Joseph in prison. And God saw the character that was in Joseph in prison. And God took him in just a few hours' time from a dungeon to a throne. Praise God. Amen. You talk about changing a job description. Here he was one day, he was a prisoner, and the next day he was the prime minister. Only God can give you that kind of a promotion. Somebody said ability will get you to the top, but character will keep you there. We've seen that, haven't we? We've seen some folks with ability get to the top, had no character. And not only did it sink them, but it's almost sunk an entire nation with it. It has rattled the entire world economy because some people with ability got to the top, but had no character. Joseph Kennedy said years ago, it doesn't matter what you are, it just matters what people think you are. Wrong, Mr. Kennedy. That's what's brought this nation to the brink of ruin. That's why we better be very prayerful about our election that's coming up. And we better look at character. I'm just telling you, look for character. Don't look for charisma or anything else. Look for character. Amen. Whatever you're doing in church, look for character. In ministry, look for character. In business, look for character. Everywhere you look, look for somebody that's got a guardian at the gate and somebody that's guarding their character. Ruben Gonzalez was a renowned, and is a renowned player, racquetball player. He came to the world championship. He was match point. This was the final blow. And the ball came, and Ruben Gonzalez hit a very low shot. It's called a super killer shot. It just barely goes across the floor and hit the front wall. And the referee said, "It's good." The lineman that was watching said, "It's in." Ruben stood there for just a moment, walked over, shook the hand of the player that was with him, and said, "No." He said, "It hit the floor before it hit the wall." That's character. It cost him a championship, but it didn't cost him his character. Amen. That's being able to be honest. He said, and they asked him later, they said, "Why in the world? You had it, man. Nobody knew but you." He said, "It's the only way that I could maintain my integrity." It meant that much to him. "I don't want to just be a champion." He said, "I want to be a champion the right way." Wasn't willing to cheat, even though nobody else knew. But it was enough for Ruben Gonzalez because he said, "I know." Amen. Character. It counts, folks. It counts. Amen. Brother Grissom, how do I get character? It matters what you open the door to. Watch what you open the door to. Watch what you let into your life. Let's stand together. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus came to a church. It was an apostolic church, Jesus' name church, apostolic Holy Ghost church. And he came to that church, and they were having church, and he was on the outside. Folks, we got to be careful. You can learn how to have church without God in your midst. That's scary. That's scary. But we can learn how to have church without the Lord even being here. And the sad thing is we won't even know he's gone. But Jesus came to the church of Laodicea, and they were having church. And they thought they were doing good. Matter of fact, their testimony, they said, "We're doing great." They said, "We're rich." Everybody say, "We're rich." I mean, not only are we paying the bills, but we got plenty left over. We're rich. We're increased with goods. Look how prosperous we are. Surely God's with us. We're driving nice cars. We live in nice houses. You know, we got going on cruises. We're doing all kinds of things. Look how blessed we are. Isn't this wonderful? God surely is with us, right? Rich. Increased with goods. Said, "Well, we don't need anything. We're so blessed. We don't have to pray. We just spend all of our time praising. We're blessed. My, we're blessed. Look how blessed we are." In the Bible, Jesus was on the outside. Wasn't him in the house. Knocking on the door. And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." Isn't that sad? a church that learned to have church without the presence of God even being there. Is it possible for a person to learn how to praise God and he's not even present? Is it possible for a person to learn how to go through the motions and God's not even involved? I'll tell you how to know if he's in there. Character. What you are when no one's around, that's character. What you are whenever the linesman says it's in and the referee says it's good, but you know in your heart it wasn't, that's character. That's character. And the way you get character is to open the door and let him in. When Jesus Christ comes in and becomes Lord of your life and you enthrone him, that's when character comes in. Amen. That's when that still small voice, when evil knocks, it says, uh-uh, don't open. When sin and sinful pleasure knock, it says, uh-uh, don't open. When gossip and bitterness knocks and jealousy and envy try to get in, and it says, uh-uh, don't open the door to that. Amen. Character maintains its purity when Jesus is enthroned in your life. Amen. It's so important today that we maintain that. Everybody say, guard the gate in 2008. Amen. You got to guard the gate, folks. Guard the gate. Don't let anything in that's not like Jesus Christ. If he's in there, you'll know it. Amen. And character will win. And character will win. Amen. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we're standing here today in a hallowed place made holy by your presence. And your sweet spirit is in this house right now. And I can't help but believe that you're talking to us. I know that you're talking to me. And I want to do better. I want to do my best. I haven't always passed the test. Sometimes I've allowed things in that should not have been. But I ask you today, help me. I want to be a man of character. I want to be a person of righteousness. I want to be an example of a Christian to a world that needs an example so desperately. You said that we're the light of the world, and you said we are the salt of the earth. So we ask you to help us today to be the good influence that you've made us to be. Amen. Crown us with your goodness and let character matter. Help us to set it as a gem worth pursuing and a treasure worth diligently seeking for and guarding with everything that's in us. Help us to keep with diligence our hearts. Amen. Because out of the heart are the issues of life. Praise God. We thank you for your presence here. Thank you for talking to us. Thank you for helping us today. In Jesus' name.